We gather this day. We come in search of life's meaning. All of us have moments of weakness and times of strength. All sing songs of sorrow and love. In this time, we turn our thoughts to how we can touch and be touched, love and be loved, forgive and be forgiven, heal and be healed, so the goodness of our lives is a shared blessing. In the presence of the sacred, may we come to know our true selves, finding a fresh impulse to love and do good. The light of life shines through the eyes of each and every person. The light of truth shines through each life. May the light of this chalice remind us that our search for truth and light is ongoing and is enhanced and nurtured by every person we meet. May we honour the light in each other. Before our first reading, which Rob is very kindly going to do for us, I need to give you a little bit of background information. It's from a book called Life of the Beloved by Henry Nouwen. He was a Dutch-born Catholic priest. He wrote many, many beautiful books on spiritual matters. This one was written specifically for a secular Jewish friend of his who had not found any of his previous books accessible, didn't connect with them at all. So this one was meant to be written for a general audience. It was recommended to me about 10 years ago, and it means a lot to me now. The only other thing you need to know for context is that Henry was part of a L'Arche community in Canada, which, where I understand the people with disabilities live together with the people who are caring for them. And this is a story about his life there. It's a longer reading, probably, than you're used to. I think at least 5 minutes, but it's a great story, and I think worth settling in for.
I am increasingly aware of how much we fearful, anxious, insecure human beings are in need of a blessing. We all need each other's blessings, masters and disciples, rabbis and students, bishops and priests, doctors and patients. Let me first tell you what I mean by the word blessing. In Latin, to bless is benedicere. The word benediction that is used in many churches means literally speaking, dictio, and well, bene, or saying good things of someone. That speaks to me. I need to hear good things said of me, and I know how much you have the same need. Nowadays we often say, we have to affirm each other. Without affirmation, it is hard to live well. To give someone a blessing is the most significant affirmation we can offer. It is more than a word of praise or appreciation. It is more than pointing out someone's talents or good deeds. It is more than putting someone in the light. To give a blessing is to affirm, to say yes to a person's belovedness. And more than that, to give a blessing creates the reality of which it speaks. There is a lot of mutual admiration in this world, just as there is a lot of mutual condemnation. A blessing goes beyond the distinction between admiration and condemnation, between virtues and vices, between good deeds or evil deeds. A blessing touches the original goodness of the other and calls forth his or her belovedness. Not long ago, in my own community, I had a very personal experience of the power of a real blessing. Shortly before I started a prayer service in one of our houses, Janet, a handicapped member of our community, said to me, "Henry, can you give me a blessing?" I responded in a somewhat automatic way by tracing with my thumb the sign of the cross on her forehead. Instead of being grateful, however, she responded vehemently, "No, that doesn't work. I want a real blessing." I suddenly became aware of the ritualistic quality of my response to her request and said, "Oh, I'm sorry. Let me give you a real blessing when we are all together for the prayer service." She nodded with a smile, and I realised that something special was required of me. After the service, when about 30 people were sitting in a circle on the floor, I said, "Janet has asked me for a special blessing. She feels that she needs that now." As I was saying this, I didn't know what Janet really wanted. But Janet didn't leave me in any doubt for very long. As soon as I had said, "Janet has asked me for a special blessing," she stood up and walked toward me. I was wearing a long white robe with ample sleeves covering my hands as well as my arms. Spontaneously, Janet put her arms around me and put her head against my chest. Without thinking, I covered her with my sleeves so that she almost vanished in the folds of my robe. As we held each other, I said, "Janet, I want you to know that you are God's beloved daughter. You are precious in God's eyes. Your beautiful smile, your kindness to the people in your house, and all the good things you do show us what a beautiful human being you are. I know you feel a little low these days, and that there is some sadness in your heart, but I want you to remember who you are, a very special person, deeply loved by God and all the people who are here with you." As I said these words, Janet raised her head and looked at me, and her broad smile showed that she had really heard and received the blessing. When she returned to her place, Jane, another handicapped woman, raised her hand and said, "I want a blessing too." She stood up, and before I knew it, had put her face against my chest. After I had spoken words of blessing to her, many more of the handicapped people followed, expressing the same desire to be blessed. The most touching moment, however, came when one of the assistants, a 24-year-old student, raised his hand and said, "And what about me?" "Sure," I said, "come." He came, and as we stood before each other, I put my arms around him and said, "John, it is so good that you are here. You are God's beloved son. Your presence is a joy for all of us. When things are hard and life is burdensome, always remember that you are loved with an everlasting love." As I spoke these words, he looked at me with tears in his eyes, and then he said, "Thank you. Thank you very much."
Now, I am not one for affirmations. Saying something doesn't make it so. But recently, a dear friend of mine read to me some affecting lines from an unknown author. They went something like this. "It's time somebody told you that you are lovely, good, and real. That your beauty can make hearts stand still. It's time somebody told you how much they love and need you. How much your spirit helps set them free. How your eyes shine full of light. It's time somebody told you." Well, as these words were read, I found a very complex internal process going on within me. I was touched, unnerved, and a little sad that I hadn't heard these words as a child. But mostly I became conscious of enormous resistance. Something in me was not quite ready to let these words in. It could be that I was not quite ready to hear such positive feedback. Maybe it wasn't yet the right time to receive love and affection. But apparently, at least one friend thought that now was a good time to attend to what is essential and life-giving. Often we are too busy, too distracted to listen to what our loved ones have to tell us. They offer all kinds of radical and startling opinions about our place in the divine scheme of things. Messages that I can almost hear include: it's time someone told you that with all your flaws and weaknesses, you are an extraordinary person, well worth knowing. No one, especially not God or the people who love you, expects you to live without making mistakes or stumbling occasionally. It's time you looked at your own life with more kindness, gentleness, and mercy. It's time someone told you that you are not on this earth to impress anyone, to dazzle us with your success, to conquer all obstacles with your competence, or to offer one brilliant solution after another. We are happy you are here with the rest of us struggling souls. We are all striving to be as faithful as we can be to the truth that we understand. No more is required. It's time someone told you that the work you do to increase your capacity to love and to pay attention is more important than any other activity. As you advance closer to what is ultimately true and life-giving, you bless others. It's time somebody told you how absolutely wonderful your laughter is. You bring joy into our world. Well, just possibly, messages of love and acceptance have always been circulating in our midst. The hard part is not seeking out these positive and creative affirmations that remind us that we are loved. The hard part is taking in the love. So it's time someone told us all that we are valued and are infinitely worthwhile. And it's time we believed it.
Some time ago, I was chatting with Linda Hart, who until very, very recently was minister with Richmond Unitarians. When I mentioned the theme of this service, she reminded me of something from one of my favourite books, Gilead, by Marilyn Robinson. This is a novel which is written from the point of view of an elderly Congregationalist minister looking back over his life. In this passage I'm going to read, he recalls that as an unusually pious child, he had baptised a litter of stray cats. He says, "Everyone has petted a cat, but to touch one like that with the pure intention of blessing it is a very different thing. It stays in the mind. For years, we would wonder what, from a cosmic viewpoint, we had done to them. It still seems to me to be a real question. There is a reality in blessing. It doesn't enhance sacredness, but it acknowledges it, and there's a power in that. I felt it pass through me, so to speak. The sensation is of really knowing a creature. I mean, really feeling its mysterious life and your own mysterious life at the same time." That's from Gilead. So if we're to begin by asking what is a blessing, we might, to start with, consider dictionary definitions. To bless is to make holy by religious rite, to sanctify, to infuse something with holiness or one's hope or approval. But for our purposes, I think that notion from Gilead is a better starting point. Blessing doesn't enhance sacredness, but it acknowledges it, and there is a power in that. In the reading from Henry Nouwen we heard earlier, he said, "I am increasingly aware of how much we fearful, anxious, insecure human beings are in need of a blessing." I couldn't agree more. So many of us carry around a sense of not being good enough that can creep up on us at any moment. Perhaps we heard too much criticism and not enough appreciation in our youth. It could also be said that in today's socio-political climate, there's increasingly an implicit message that people are only of any worth so long as they're economically useful. God help you if you're poor or sick or old or somehow don't fit into the system. Whatever you do, it can seem that all you've got to give is not enough. No wonder so many people feel fearful, anxious, insecure, and in need of a blessing. This practice of blessing can be an antidote to all this, reminding people of their own inherent worth. However, paradoxically, a lot of us seem to feel uncertain, embarrassed, or awkward about blessing. Even if at some level we really long for a blessing, we can find ourselves shrinking back or unconsciously putting up barriers when a blessing is offered to us. In the piece by Barbara Merritt, she speaks of a reaction when effusively praised by a friend. She says, "I found a very complex internal process going on within me. I was touched, unnerved, and a little sad that I hadn't heard these words as a child. But mostly I became conscious of enormous resistance. Something in me was not quite ready to let these words in." That's rather sad, but I can relate to it. I remember when I started going to Essex Church, I found it really unnerving when all these Unitarians started saying nice, positive, appreciative things to me. It was so unlike what I'd heard anywhere else, the sort of workplace banter, which can so often be critical and undermining. But I felt this strange push and a pull between the great hunger to hear kind words and the sense that I didn't know what to do with them. I'd really experienced that kind of appreciation elsewhere. Offering a blessing can be just as awkward, embarrassing and anxiety-provoking as receiving one. So we typically save for special occasions, births, marriages, deaths. And even then, we devolve responsibility to specially appointed ministers. Barbara Brown Taylor, an Episcopalian minister, has written something about this phenomenon. This is what she says. "I think it's a big mistake to perpetuate the illusion that only certain people can bless things. There remain a great many people who excuse themselves when asked to pronounce a formal blessing. They're not qualified, they say. They're not good with words. They'd rather jump off a high diving board than try to say something holy in front of a bunch of other people. My guess is that even if you ask them to bless something in private, thereby separating the fear of public speaking from the fear of pronouncing a blessing, they would still demur. And if you're one of those people, then only you know why. All I can tell you is how much the world needs you to reconsider." Those are the words of Barbara Brown Taylor. I wonder if this is because on some level we know how important it is, how powerful a blessing can be, and we don't want to be the ones who mess it up. But really, we can't afford to leave it to the professionals. We need all hands on deck. There are so many people in this world in need of blessing who are fearful, anxious, and insecure, and there's no one but us to do it. To paraphrase Teresa of Avila, "God has no hands but yours. Yours are the hands by which he is to bless us now." Having looked at the what and the why of blessing, we can turn to Henry Nouwen to look at how we might go about giving and receiving blessings. In that story we heard, the young woman Janet really shows us how it's done. Firstly, she knows she's in need of a blessing and she doesn't hesitate to ask for one. And secondly, when Henry offers his rather mechanical sign of the cross, she tells him where to get off. "No, that doesn't work," she says. "I want a real one." Janet longs for something significant, deep and real, and is bold enough to ask for it directly. When he's called on it, Henry knows he's just going through the motions, but at first he doesn't know what's required of him. What is a real blessing? He stalls and says he'll offer something in the evening service, but even when the time comes, he doesn't know what he's going to say or do. But he opens himself to the moment, and in the end, you might say it's a joint effort between Henry, Janet, and what we might call the Spirit. As Rachel Naomi Remen says, in the words that are on the front of your order of service, in fact, "A blessing is not something that one person gives another. A blessing is a moment of meeting, a certain kind of relationship in which both people involved remember and acknowledge their true nature and worth and strengthen what is whole in one another." Perhaps the most moving part of that story for me is the way in which Janet's boldness liberates everyone else in the community to be vulnerable and show that they too are in need, as one by one both the cared for and the carers come forward to receive blessings. And although each instance of blessing will unfold spontaneously and uniquely as the Spirit moves, we can learn something about the shape or the attributes of a blessing from this story. and I want to highlight just three aspects of a blessing which we might do well to take note of. The first aspect of blessing is simple human contact, in this case an enfolding embrace, as Henry covers Janet in the big white robes. For me, this sort of gesture conveys something that goes beyond words, something of being enfolded in love, both human and divine, as we sang in the hymn earlier, not just in spirit's words we preach, in human touch, love's faith we show. Even though we're literally pressed right up against each other, especially in big cities and on the Jubilee line this morning, which was unbelievably crowded at 7 o'clock, we're often literally pressed right up against one another, but this sort of intentional human contact, offering a sense of comfort and acceptance, is rare for many of us. In the words of John O'Donoghue, when one is in sorrow or pain, touch can be the silent language that says everything. It travels deeper than words can. The second aspect of blessing is an element of personal affirmation, specifically naming the good you see in someone. In modern life, particularly in big cities, many people feel almost invisible, so even to acknowledge that you've seen or heard them at all is a significant thing. To name the good you see in another may enable them to see it in themselves, and even call forth that quality in them as they attempt to live up to your affirmation. Here's an example, a tiny example from my own experience. Many years ago I took part in a women's group, and on one occasion we sat in a circle, and the task was that each of us would offer a single word to the person sitting next to you, naming some good quality that you'd seen in them. And the woman next to me offered me the word creativity, which is not a word I had associated with myself at all at that time. But that affirmation really sowed a seed in my consciousness, and I've carried around that positive notion ever since. I think she's inadvertently done me such a lot of good and helped to shape my life, although I haven't seen her in probably 8 years. There's a hymn in our green hymn book, Scorn Not the Slightest Word, which includes the lines, no act falls fruitless, none can tell how vast its power may be, nor what results enfolded dwell within it silently. One tiny affirmation can be carried in another's heart for the rest of their days. The third aspect of blessing for me involves a higher dimension. I think of it as the God's eye view. When we bless, we somehow transcend the personal just for a moment. Henry Nouwen blesses people with the phrase, you are God's beloved child. And that phrase holds a lot of power for me. Barbara Brown Taylor says this, pronouncing a blessing puts you as close to God as you can get. To pronounce a blessing on something is to see it from the divine perspective. This may be why blessing prayers make some people uncomfortable. A loyal churchgoer once said in my hearing, I don't want to be that important. Yet she relied on me, her priest, to say the blessings she was unwilling to say herself because she knew they were necessary. She needed to hear a human voice pronouncing God's blessing on her. Otherwise she might give in to the insistent idea that she truly was not important, that both she and the whole world were without any significant meaning. Barbara Brown Taylor. If this God language doesn't work for you, maybe there's another way to phrase this bigger view. It's one that some of you might be familiar with as the first principle of the Unitarian Universalist Association, to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person. This is something quite apart from the specific good qualities we might choose to name. It's saying that regardless of the particulars of life, whether we've been naughty or nice, as it were, we are ultimately worthwhile. It's no accident that this is the first principle of the UUA. As far as I'm concerned, that message is central to our Unitarian message, our good news. So I think it would be good for us as Unitarians to make a practice of blessing. Maybe it won't always feel quite right to include all three dimensions of blessing, the human contact, the personal affirmation, and the God's eye view that we've looked at. But I encourage you to do it in a way that suits your personality and suits the situation at hand. There's no need to be extravagant about it if it's not your style. I rarely feel brave enough to say to anyone, you are God's beloved child. But I often say something a bit more casual and low-key, like, oh, you are a good egg. And for a lot of people, that message is going to be easier to hear. Don't ever think it goes without saying, because the value of your affirmation may be much bigger than you think. So in the days and weeks to come, I encourage you to give and receive blessings freely. Like Henry Nouwen, we might not know exactly what's required of us, but let's cultivate an attitude of reverence, sensitivity and openness, approaching each potential moment of blessing with courage and goodwill. As we sang earlier, we come as we are to worship and pray, unsure of ourselves, unsure what to say, to give life the best of the powers we have, as servants of life and clear channels of love. And now may the blessings of life be upon us and upon this congregation. May the memories we gather here give us hope for the future. May the love we share bring joy to our hearts. And may the peace of this community be with us until we meet again. Amen.